Reborn out of disaster, four survivors rose again to form a legion of the world's strangest heroes. Da-da-da-doom Patrol!
Once again, to the Doom Pod Soul Podcast. I am your host, Scott Coles, and with me, as always,
is Murray Fox. And this week, we are looking at Doom Patrol number 40, with a cover date of January 1991.
Oh.
Yes, 91. We're moving through the years.
Scary.
Yes. Yes. Alrighty, we got a great big pink cover with a spider Robo-Man on it. It's pretty cool, actually, because it's all...
climbing vertically up the...
Yeah, he's climbing up the page, and his coat is zooming out behind him. It's really... it's pretty striking.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite covers of the run.
Yeah, the little mechanized spider there with little laser guns coming out of its body and Cliff's all...
Oh, yeah.
Cliff is all ready to roll. Excellent. Alrighty, so we start off, and once again we start with another little prologue that is providing hints of what's happening in the world while the Doom Patrol is off in space. So,
yes.
This prologue is called Why Green, and it involves the green men, the men in black, except they're wearing green gloves and green shirts and green sunglasses. And they're coming to this little desert gas station where Mr. Christmas is working on a book. It's one of those...
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, it's one of those tell-alls, you know?
He's a whistleblower.
Totally, that's exactly what he is. And, he's expecting the men. He was like, all these years I've been expecting the men in black. And they're like, well, just be thankful they didn't send in the men in mauve. Which, of course, would be horrifying.
Yeah. A little bit, anyway.
Yeah, totally.
If it's not you, obviously grew up somewhere. Terribly scary, like Sarajevo.
Yeah, totally. Where mauve is the color of the day. Blah. Alrighty, so Mr. Christmas has been working on this book. He's been expecting to be apprehended and taken in, and they start flipping through his notes, and they read a little bit of his notes, which he's called his book The Cremated Vegetarians, and they read through some of the passages. All the hissing radiocarbon notepaper alerted in this book has been pestered in a sibilic, tearful, telluric, and they go on and on. And Mr. Christmas is like, oh my God, that's not what I wrote?
Don't.
What's going on? And they're like, yeah, we did this years ago. It's a little lesion in the angular gyrus of your brain's temporal lobe. You've been writing gibberish ever since.
Yeah.
Poor Mr. Christmas is heartbroken. He's like, no, it was called the secret government. I was going to expose you.
Well, now you know why we did that then.
That's right. Not going to happen. So they lead him away. And while they're leading him away, he's like, but was I right? Was I right about the sugar tongs and the dead hand? And what's the Pentagon, really? And they just tell him, well, you were almost right about the tongs. And that Pentagon, it's only the tip of the iceberg. You'll see. He's like, what? Will I see what happened to the men of Flight 19? Will I see what they saw? And they just play around with words a little bit. They say, I see, and then they say, I letter, C letter. And then they change it into the word icy. So more Morrison playing with words, which is always kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
And they shove him into a green car. And he tells his dog, don't worry, I'll be back. And the green men are like, nah, he's lying. He's not coming back. And they take him away. They take him to the ant farm. Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, dun, dun.
Presumably, we will find out what the ant farm is in the coming issues.
Indeed.
Yes. So then we get back to the Doom Patrol, and they're little war, their little religious war up in space there. And, yes. And
nothing like a good old jihad, too.
That's right. Especially when it's
story pumping.
Yeah, it's a little space jihad there. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got Cliff all decked out in his new spider legs, and he's hanging with Crazy Jane and the... the religious guy. And they're watching as war prepares there. They've got the Thought armies building up behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready to take on their enemies.
Well, they've got to stop the other guys from destroying the Judge Rock.
Yes. They want to protect the little Judgy Rock.
It's got the pretty flower inside them.
Yes. So. The pretty flower that's going to get smushed if the other side has its
knowledge and whatnot.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Crazy Jane asks if Cliff's okay in those new legs, and he's like, yeah, yeah, it's just a matter of coordination, and he does a bit of a almost fall down, and then he's like, all right, I'm good. Feel a little shaky, but I'll be good. And
I imagine it's hard to acclimatize to having eight legs suddenly instead of just two.
Exactly. Exactly, although his center of gravity is, like, still right in the middle, I guess, depending where you place your legs, but all those new
legs.
Yeah,
he's only got those tiny little pointy...
I know. It's like he's a little...
Instead of feet, right?
Yeah. He's like a little ballet dancer spider.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be great on the stage. He could do the can-can all on his own.
On ice.
He totally could.
Now touring, Robot Man on Ice.
That would be an ice capades I would go to see.
That'd probably be the only ice capades I would go to see.
I hear ya. All right, so they're getting ready to descend into the war zone there, and creepy little spider guy with the webs and the ball for a face takes out this little vial and sprinkles them with all this smelly liquid. Crazy Jane is like, ugh, stop that. That's disgusting. I smell like... ugh, I don't even know what I smell like. And they want to know what this goop is. And they're told it's a disguise. The queen mass in the heart of the cage synthesized this perfume after analysis of the body of the smoke dogs we captured. The dogs
are those big things with those big noses.
Yeah, that's all they can do. They smell. That's all they do. So, the scent that they were just doused with is to confuse the smoke dogs. And Cliff's like, if you say so. For once, I really appreciate the crap sensory equipment on this body. And Crazy Jane is like smelling it again. She's like, it's not so bad once you get used to it. And, will it really protect us from the smoke dogs? And, of course, there's only one way to find out. And down they go. And so we zip over and we visit with the rest of the Doom Patrol. We see Rebus and Rhea. And they're hanging out with Huss. And they have just got to the Judge Rock. And they're looking down on their battlefield there.
Mm-hmm.
And Huss is like, he just says, from here, all is danger, stroke peril, trust nothing. And Rhea says, except for you, I suppose. She's just a sarcastic little one today. He's like, she's not wrong.
What you call shady at best.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Check out that mustache.
Yeah. Yes. Anyone with the handlebar mustache is generally not to be trusted.
Especially when it's all askew like that.
Yeah. Yes, it's all crazy. Crazy curled. Anyway, Huss is like, I'm just trying, stroke endeavoring, to put an end to this ancient, stroke, wasteful conflict. Better to trust me than any other. And she's like, if you say so. According to you. He says, all right, just remember your orders, stroke instructions. You is to enter, stroke, penetrate the Judge Rock and wait there for my signal. And then you is to, yeah, 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 I heard you the first time, and off she flies.
Enter, stroke, penetrate.
Yeah, ooh, yeah, that's right.
Nice and dirty, dirty man.
Well, you know.
Yep.
I'm sure he was in his 20s, right? So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He was all full of sexy energy. Alrighty, so off she flies, and Huss says, "There's something wayward, stroke capricious about the lodestone. That worries me." And Rebus just says, "I hope you fully understand what you've set in motion." And we go back to Robot Man and Crazy Jane and all the thought soldiers that are following them into the zone.
They have no problem following them because they smell like ass.
That's right. Exactly. So right now they're in the zone of mindless walls. And suddenly a wall just jumps up right in front of them. And then another one, and they start to get squished by walls. It's like the like that Star Wars scene without all the...
The trash compactor.
Yeah, without all the garbage, except, you know, for their smell. And they're told, yeah, the walls just kind of jump up. That's what they do. They tend to pulp their unfortunate victims. And Cliff's like, huh, mindless walls. That's okay. I can get pretty mindless myself. And he whips out his lasers and his... rifles, and he just starts zapping away at the walls and punches holes in them, and off they go. They go right through.
That's Cliff's motto, when in doubt, punch there.
That's right. And this time it totally works.
Oh, yeah.
If you're being
it works most of the time, to be honest. So I guess that's why it's his go-to strategy.
That's right. When it works, right? Stick with what you know. And, you know, Cliff for once is like, he's in a situation he understands, and he's like, this is nice. I get this. Punching holes, that's me. I'm all down with that.
Yeah.
All right, so we go visit with Rhea for a little while. She's flying through the air. She's doing a Starfire with her hair shooting out behind her like a little energy trail. And she gets to the Judge Rock, and it smiles down at her. It almost looks like it's got a mustache. I don't think it does, but...
It might.
You never know. You never know with Judge Rocks. And she flies on up to the little tower town on the top of the Judge Rock and sets herself down. Clouds are drifting down empty streets, in and out of hollow doorways, in the unlit Crown City on the Rock. And here comes Rhea. It sounds like it could be a sitcom. Here comes Rhea.
Here comes Rhea.
That's right. Big naked Rhea walking down the street. I would watch that show. Totally. Alrighty, so we go back with Cliff and Crazy Jane, and they're walking through their town too. They've come to a new zone. It's the zone of dismay. Feelings of apprehension are not unusual, they're told. The sensation of confinement is an after effect of the space plague. Even in the widest spaces, you may find it difficult to move properly. And Crazy Jane notices there's these flying spaceships following them, and she's like, I don't even see why we have to walk. Why can't we just fly in one of those things? And she's told, well, we thought you might object to the necessary surgery. Also, the life expectancy of successfully graft pilots and navigators is not long, and those that do survive often fail to adapt out with the battle context to life in the aquariums. She's like, all right, I'm good then. I'm fine. Alrighty, so they wander on, and just as he figured they might, Cliff is feeling, you know, he's got this strange feeling. He's not sure if it's the zone of dismay or whatever, but he just figures something isn't right about all this. And before they can really talk about it, you know, like he's saying the war doesn't make sense, but I guess war doesn't make sense at the best of times. And he can't really get into it too far, because that is, of course, when the smoke dog appears. They should, of course, be fine, doused in that smelly perfume, but... We will see. It's pretty drooly and growly.
The best laid plans of weird looking dudes.
That's right, that's right. So we get back to Rebus and Huss, and Rebus notices that Huss's army is floating around behind them, walking around, because they're already with us. You just have to He's like, he's getting impatient with poor Rebus. He's like, you have to stroke, comprehend, grasp the workings of the kaleidoscape. I'm getting tired of explanations, stroke expositions. It becomes tedious. Because I guess, you know, when you think of it, they appear, and that's the way this works in kaleidoscape land there. So, he's going on about the Judge Rock. There isn't going to be any fighting anyway when they bring down the rock, because in that moment, stroke instant, all that was old, stroke outmoded, will be cast away, and everything will be new. It's going to be a new world, so even though he has this army, they're not going to need it, because he's going to be king of the world anyway. Mm-hmm. And Rebus wonders how they managed to find Rhea in the first place, and Huss explains it's their tradition. Planet Earth is this sacred place of pilgrimage. It's said, stroke rumored, of the Judge Rock that this angel's original home was from their planet, from Earth. Uh-huh. While visiting, we sensed the presence of the developing lodestone. We had only to wait until her emergence, stroke nativity, and then a matter of erecting a tableau drawn from her memories and removing stroke, subtracting her before she completed her bonding cycle. So presumably if they had left her alone, she would have turned into something, I don't know, some sort of elemental, I guess, on Earth, and been like the Earth magnet element or something. Who knows? Doesn't matter, because they snatched her up and brought her out into space.
Right.
That's right, because Earth has got plenty of elementals anyway, what with. Well, at this point, let's see, they had Firestorm, they had Swamp Thing, they had, I'm sure there were others. There was probably an air elemental and a water elemental, and they were overrun with elementals. So really, the aliens were just doing Earth a favor, I'm sure. Anyway, so they bring her up to space, and Huss says, now she's here, and her power will bring down the angel stroke watchman and change the world. It's time to go there. Mm. And Rebus is like, why don't you just admit you're afraid to die, Huss? What?
What?
What are you talking about?
Not me.
I want to remake the world. I'm a good guy. I'm one of those.
Totally.
I'm a benevolent person.
Yeah.
I'm all about the charity. Rebus says, I know why you really want to destroy the rock. It has very little to do with ending the war. I know. Your thoughts have been leaking. And Huss cannot have that, so he's like, enough.
That's you, Rebus.
Yeah, that's right.
So he weird mind thingies.
That's right. Well, when your thoughts are leaking, I mean, if you've got leaky thoughts, you gotta expect that someone's gonna pick up on the drippings there. Mm-hmm. So Huss sends some knives shooting at Rebus. He's had enough. But we will leave
Very
Rebus.
Fickle.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, will you help me? Ugh, die.
That's right. You can't know my real plan. I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. All right, so back to the smoke dogs. And can it smell us? What do we do if it smells us? We're dead. And of course, the little spider guy's like, I have the utmost confidence in our disguises. That dog is not going to, and of course, it starts to sniff. And does the Cookie Monster chomp and yep. barrels down at them, and Cliff is just like, oh, Jesus, and laser zaps it, which stops it for like a second, and not too long. So Jane just dives into it. Little Jane dives onto the smoke dog. She's wraps her arms around its neck, does a little wrestling hold, and then zaps away. Yep, she pops away and ends up in the middle of the sky. And whatever little personality she had, that was probably Flit, it has left her now that they're up a million miles in the sky.
Yeah, so Flit had that problem. She just sort of takes off and then just goes, whoop.
Yeah, so it was handy, but now they're zooming to the ground, and Jane is like, get me out of here! And Flit decides to pop back in just for a second. Ugh, hang on.
Hello.
She is, yeah, she's having a good time. I don't know, but I think it helps. She got a little agility with her this week, so she gets the time to be like, so that's good. Okay, so Jane is falling too, and then just as the page ends, it looks like she flits out of danger again. We're not sure where she's flitting to yet, because of course we get to go see what Rhea is up to, and she's wandering through the city on the rock, and she's just kind of having the time of her life there. There's all kinds of whisperings in the gallery of, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and she's just kind of going through, la 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 la. Yes, there's lots of, you know, deep, ominous whispers, but she's having none of it. She's just floating along, la la la-ing. Comes upon a throne with a skeleton and a big blue robe. She's like, la la la, ah, here's what I want. And in his skeletal hand is this glass shard with a flower either imprinted on it or in it, I guess.
I think it's inside. It's a, yeah, piece. White rose or whatever that is.
Yeah. She's like, nice. All right.
Four.
That's right. And we see where Crazy Jane has come back to. She's popped up on the ground right by Cliff there. He's like, are you okay? What happened? I don't know. It was Flit. She took me up and I was falling. And then they see the smoke dog come crashing to the ground. She's like, yeah, I think I stunned it. But they don't really have time to worry about it because now they are being attacked by a glass swarm. Bum, bum, bum.
I hate when that happens.
Uh-huh. Cliff is like, what did he say? And Crazy Jane says, glass swarm, glass, glass, alas, alas, a mass, a mad, ambo, hobo, no go, slow-mo, gorilla still. He's like, ah, brilliant. Now what am I supposed to do? Because Crazy Jane has turned into, who is this? This is, we've seen her before. She's that, is it Rain? I don't know. I can't remember what she's called.
Oh, Rain.
She's
Rain Brain?
Yeah, something.
Rain Brain.
Like, Rain Brain, yeah. She's doing her little rhymey speech.
Yeah, as long as he's talking her rhymes, she can't be touched. She's,
yeah,
sort of an intangible Rain form.
Which is probably good when you're all being attacked by, you know, swarms of glass.
yeah, I'd say it would be handy.
So it doesn't bother Cliff. He's got, you know,
well, Rex's jacket still.
Yeah, well,
that, yes. That's okay.
Finally, the glass swarm stops, and Crazy Jane comes back, and she's like, Cliff, are you okay? And he's like, I'm okay. My favorite jacket's been reduced to shoelaces, but I'm okay. I'm okay. She's like, I like it. I like that look. And the religious guy, the little spider dude, he's like, come on, hurry it up, this way. Cliff is like, yeah, we'll hurry. We just got killed back there, but don't worry, we're we're coming along there, dude.
Yeah, getting killed, that's not
good. Yeah.
So,
yes, he's like, look, this isn't even our war, okay? We came here to find our friends, and we can do without all of this. What went wrong with that dog? And the guy figures out, you know, smoke dogs, they smell through time. So it must have smelled me before I applied the disguise. Ah, shoot. A minor design flaw.
That's a good sense of smell, that is.
Totally. Huh. Dang. I can smell the past.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And they're looking down at the battlefield, and Jane's pointing, and they're all shouting at one another. She's like, what's up with that? He explains that we've entered the zone of words that kill. Now, where's my dictionary? So he's digging through his dictionary looking for a word. We get back to Rhea. Wait for my signal, she says. Wait for my signal. I got better things to do with my time than wait for signals.
Totally.
So she's like,
works on her own clock, then.
That's right. It's just like the circus again. Time to bring the house down. So she does her little Rhea thing. Energy goes shooting out of her all over the place. She kind of drops the glass shard there while the energy is doing its little dance. And back on the battlefield, he's going through that dictionary, finding killing words. Filbert doesn't work. Hosiery, Tiffin, longitudinal, none of those are really killing words. Crust, marginal, convalescence, nope. And Crazy Jane's like, hurry it up, man. Come on. He says, suture, and that is what does it. Suture is apparently a killing word. So, all of you that are listening, I'll try to...
Sorry for that we killed you.
And... I'll try to bleep it out when I say the yeah word, or I'll add sound effects or something. That's right. That's right. Unless suture is only a killing word in space, in which case... You're fine.
Unless you're listening to this in space.
That's right. In which case...
We apologize.
Sorry, man. Rough luck.
My bad.
Yeah. All right. So we go visit Rebus. And Huss is saying, it occurs to me you'd be much more interesting, stroke amusing, dead than you are alive. I believe I'll kill, stroke terminate you now. And the knives start to get closer, but Rebus is like, I think it's too late for that. Where is the Judge Rock, Huss? Because it has, of course, just vanished out of the sky. And everyone else in the other battlefields, they've stopped their fighting. And Cliff is like, why have they stopped? Why have they? And they look up in the sky. And the Judge Rock has come crashing down. Smush! Right on the last page. Perhaps they're being squished. We'll find out. We'll find out. It'll make for a pretty empty another 40 issues if they're squished there. But, you know, we will see what happens to the Doom Patrol next issue. And that brings us to the end.
Woohoo!
Uh-huh.
Lots of crazy doings in space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me see. Letter column is pretty typical for the Doom Patrol. Lots of people enjoying it. Trying to see if there's anyone famous. Jess Nevins?
Jess Nevins, yes.
Jess Nevins has got a letter in there.
An internet comics and fiction historian of some repute.
Yeah. He's done
He's the one that was behind the... annotations for League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, that must have been a huge job.
Yeah.
So he's got a little light in there talking about the Nowhere Men, and I think that's it. Scott Peterson.
I don't know who that is.
I'm thinking that's not the Scott Peterson that murdered his wives. Although if it is...
You never know.
I wonder how much this issue is.
As long as he's not going to blame it on the Doom Patrol, that's okay.
Doesn't look like it is. Although I wonder what the feelings are about marriage in here. Let me see. Jip.
About marriage?
Well, let me see. He killed his wife, so... What does he say?
Does he say anything about marriage?
Let the Chiefs... Well, he talks about... Yeah, a little bit. Okay, he says, let the Chiefs impassioned... intellectual facade crack more often. Perhaps you could explore his relationship to Arani more. I can't accept that his marriage was all one woman's delusion. That's it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like a murderer. Alrighty.
That's what they always say, though.
Exactly. Huh. I am going to have to dig through my National Enquirers and find out what area of town Scott Peterson is from.
Yeah.
Huh.
That would be frightening and interesting, I think, to know.
Absolutely. I get all my white trash murderers mixed up from time to time. Alrighty. That brings us to the end of this issue, folks.
Yeah.
And we will see you all...
Contact info. Come on.
Right. We'll see you all after we give you the contact info. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at doompodtroll@gmail.com, which I checked today, and it's all good. It's empty.
Well, that's not good.
That's not good.
Opposite of good.
But we haven't missed anyone, which is...
Well, that is good.
That's good.
And it's good that you checked. It's bad that it's empty.
Yes. Yeah. And if you want to send us a little comment over at our website, you can wander over to doompodtroll.com. www.thewordsstruck.com, which is where our episodes hang out and where we hang out and some commenters hang out every once in a while. And all our episodes are there. You can just find them, click them, listen to them, or comment away over there as well.
Yep.
That's it. Now we will see y'all next week.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.